Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Welcome to our Best Of series, where we take some of our best or most popular episodes, extract some nuggets of wisdom, and then combine them into these Best Of episodes. This offers our listeners the opportunity to check out bits of different episodes, get a feel for what's applicable to your business, and then hopefully go back into the archives and listen to the full episodes. Our platform, mobilewalletmarketer.com, enables small to mid-sized business owners across a variety of industries the opportunity to use mobile to enhance sales, marketing, and customer service via a unique mobile interface that works with nearly every smartphone on the planet. I'll be giving you a heads up about the content in each excerpt in this episode to provide some context for you, so to speak. Today's topic in our Best Of series is the state legal cannabis industry. It's always a hot subject when we look through the stats for individual episodes, and even those who aren't involved in the industry seem to want to find out more about it. Our very first cannabis-oriented episode was number 11. Cannabis Dispensary and Delivery Marketing, which aired all the way back in April of 2016. We were very gently dipping our toes in the water, so to speak, and the topic that day was designed to demonstrate how effectively marketing a state-legal cannabis industry business was not all that different from marketing any other type of business. In this excerpt, we're going to walk you through how to set up a pass, what elements are applicable to cannabis, and then at the end, how you can extend the reach of your in-store or on-site passes to work at events you may participate in as a vendor or sponsor. After that, we'll introduce the next segment. Well, all you have to do is pay us to build the pass for you, actually. It's really, really simple. We've got a couple of different plans. We'll talk about that more towards the end of today's podcast. But basically, the wallet pass is in your phone, and
it has your branding on it. You can put a strip image, a logo, similar to what you would have on a website.
I mean, it looks kind of like a card in your phone. It has two sides, the front side, which is a couple of lines of text. We like to call those your headlines, your attention grabbers. It's probably going to have your logo on it and some sort of graphics for your store's brand, your dispensary's brand, whatever you call yourself. Keep those really simple because remember, even the iPhone 6 Plus is not that big. So we want to stay away from busy graphics. But so that's the front is the graphics. And like I say, a couple of lines of text. Nothing is linkable from the front. Nothing happens on the front other than it's like your calling card. You know, it's like the outside of a box, if you would, and somebody needs to open it. So they flip it over to the back, and what's there?
And this is where you can get all to the great nitty-gritty. You can put your links to your dispensary, to your shop, any new products that you have out there. If you run a podcast, you can put a podcast link on there as well.
Yeah, we actually did a podcast marketing through mobile wallet passes. That was one of our previous episodes, so you should definitely go back and check that one out if you haven't heard it. So anyway, you've got some elements that are kind of unique to a dispensary or a retail situation. And the uniqueness is in the fact that you are a business to consumer physical location, same as if you were a clothing store or a hair salon or a restaurant. You have things in common with these type of businesses. And when you are setting up your passes, one of the things that you're really going to want to stress is the geo and the proximity features of the passes. So Hazel, why don't you explain a little bit more about how that works?
All All right. Well, when you have a retail store or a dispensary, you have lots of foot traffic coming through. As such, you can call out to your foot traffic to get them into your door. Do that by doing notification, let them know of new products. So
we would set that one up with like the GeoLink, which the geofencing uses the GPS that's already in the phone and the location services bit. And so what that does is we would set up some targets, say, for example, the GPS location of your store. And if you have multiple stores, we could put multiple locations on the same pass, or you could do individual passes for individual stores. One of the other really sort of sneaky, neat, cool things is you're not limited to just your location. So if you have a particular competitor who is, say, 10 blocks away from you, you could put their geolocation onto your passes. So when your customer was walking by competitive dispensary XYZ, you can pop a pass that says, "Hey, don't forget about us. We are dispensary ABC, and we have great deals or great product," or, you know, whatever it is that you are marketing. You're pushing that message to them right then and there while they are walking down the street. Say that you went, cannabis cup? Is that what it's called?
Cannabis cup, yeah.
So, yeah, if you wanted to use it for something like that, how would you do that?
Well, a cannabis cup is a trade show.
Okay.
And at trade shows, we can use it as geo location.
And then what about iBeacons?
And iBeacons can be used. So if you have a booth at the trade show that you're at, let's say Cannabis Cup, you have a booth and you want people to see what special offers that you have at your booth when they come into the hall.
Okay.
You would ding them right on your phone, a notification right on their phone to say, "Hey, I'm at booth 123, come visit me," and you'll get a special discount.
Super. So you could set it up to where, let's say we were talking about, I'm going to use HempCon as an example because I know how the layout works of that one. You know, it's that big long stretch there. So if you were going to be exhibiting at HempCon, I would probably set it up to where I had a geo at either end of the promenade because it's like, I think it's more than a mile long. Our second excerpt in this Best Of episode is number 21, the ROI of legal cannabis networking events. This episode first aired in August of 2016. Interestingly enough, it is one that simply keeps on giving. While it's never made the top 10 list for any given time frame, it is like the little engine that could, always getting some listens, even though we've revisited the topic in a few different ways. Listen now as we walk you through the ways and methods that you can use to gauge the effectiveness of sponsorship versus attendance, and how you can use mobile to get a handle on what you're getting back from what you're spending to be there. After that, we'll introduce the third segment in this Best Of episode. Let's go on and let's actually talk about today's topic, which is the cannabis networking events. Now, trade shows and conferences, regardless of whether this is cannabis related or marketing related, or, you know, many, many years ago, I was in the furniture business. We had lots of furniture trade shows. It's always hard for companies or individuals to assign an ROI value to the money and the time that it takes to go to a trade show. One of the things that we always had a lot of difficulty with was, over what period of time does the long tail sort of kick in? How do we know that the reason that somebody called us or emailed us and wanted, say, credit card processing, for instance, 3 months after we met them at a trade show, could we really assign that value to the trade show? We didn't exactly have a method of doing it. And, you know, I know like HubSpot, Salesforce and stuff like that gives you a lot of tools, but it's still a pain in the butt to get it done, don't you think?
Yes, it is, because you just don't know if that's the reason they went with you. It's
right.
Just, you don't know, but you're building up your relations, and that's what's important at a show.
Right, because, you know, I think it's hard to feel like you're part of the industry if you're not out
networking with your peers and meeting new people and making new connections, especially in like the legal cannabis industry. It's such a nascent industry. It's really in its infancy, so to speak. And where else are you going to meet the people that you want to eventually perhaps partner with? The sort of online presence, it's not really the same in cannabis as it is in, say, online advertising, where everybody has websites and social and email marketing and stuff like that. So how, what, I don't know that there's that many other ways that you're really going to meet and become part of the group.
Right. And it's a great way to, if you want to meet someone, you speak to them on the phone or over Skype, and you finally want to meet them in person. And then you want to see if there's a good chemistry between you as well. And that's what networking helps, and that's what trade show helps do.
Totally. So let me take a minute, and I'm going to suggest that if you're a new listener or if you joined us fairly recently, if you haven't been back to the archives, you probably want to take some time and listen. I'm talking particularly about episode number 14, which we did a while back, and it's about trade shows and events and how to use mobile marketing, specifically mobile wallets, to get a better ROI and make it better for your business. Some of it is geared towards people who host shows or conferences, which might not be you, but you're still, even as an attendee, going to want, say, a checklist, I guess right. You'd call it, of sort of the do's and don'ts for getting the most out of your trip. So again, that's episode number 14. Take a few minutes, listen to it. I think it's probably a short one, 15 minutes or so. And moving on, back on topic.
Sure.
There's such a wide variety of cannabis networking events today. I went to a Women Grow event yes. in Phoenix the other day, and I was pleasantly surprised. There were probably, 50 people there. It wasn't on its regular schedule because there was a holiday, so it was pushed back a week. So they didn't have a speaker like they normally do. So they did it completely as a networking event, which worked out okay. It was a lot of time to spend talking to people. And, I think maybe at a point about a third of the way through, people had kind of grouped themselves and the networking sort of stopped. And people kind of got into conversations, and then we're all sitting there looking at our watches going, oh, is there going to be a presentation? So that's one type of an event, and we're going to Hempfest.
We're going to Hempfest, which is more of a B2C type event, business to consumer. And that's going to be different for us. We usually go more to business to business events.
That one's giant. It's like a mile and a half or 2 miles long, something like that. It's got all these stages, and so if I'm an attendee and I am going to a big event, one of the things that I want to know is where and when are the speakers that I want to see, mm-hmm. and where are the exhibitors that I want to see or meet or be sure to check out. Now, mobile wallet marketing passes fall perfectly into that line of thinking.
Yes, it does. With a pass, you can use something called what Apple has, iBeacon technology, and it will, you can ping where you are, saying you have a little update on your pass, saying I'm here at booth number 407, come visit me. And everyone who has a pass will get this update, and then they'll know where to find you.
Cool. So if I were organizing an event, one of the things that I would do is I think I would have my own either event ticket or master pass where I would keep links back to the schedule for the attendees. I would keep links back to the main website,
yes.
links to any sort of super duper customer service oriented stuff. You know, if it was not obviously a cannabis event, but somewhere like Burning Man, for instance, I would have iBeacons all over the place because they don't really have good internet connection, so you can't use the geolocation, which is the GPS in the phone, but you could iBeacon the daylights out of that place, and you could literally walk people around in a traffic flow or let them know how close they were to an aid station if they needed first aid or something like that. So there's just so many different things that you can do in the trade show, events, conferences, not necessarily cannabis related.
In our last episode of this best of series about the state legal cannabis industry, we chose episode number 16, Using the Wallet for Cannabis Advocacy Groups, which is a topic near and dear to our hearts, especially these days when politics is such a mess nearly everywhere on earth. The main goal of an advocacy group is to be effective, and in this excerpt, we're going to teach you how to use mobile to increase your efficacy and really get your message out there.
So the potential for a lot of states that have things going on the ballot for November, where it was probably not going to be the easiest thing to get it done, maybe it does become a little bit easier because, A, people are paying so much attention to this Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders situation that they're not paying attention. I think a lot of people are going to decide not to go and vote. That's going to be their little protest, especially if it's Clinton and Trump. They're just not going to go vote, which means that if you get your user base out to vote, especially in the smaller local stuff or the state stuff that has to do with legalization, whether it's medical, whether it's recreational, whatever it is, there is probably not going to be a better opportunity for making forward strides in legalization than there will be this fall at the election time. But right now, and before we do anything else, this is a podcast about mobile wallet marketing made easy. Hazel, can you give the sort of 3-minute rundown, 2-minute rundown of what a mobile wallet marketing pass is and how it works? Because I'm going to guess that a lot of people have ended up here from iTunes or Google and maybe they haven't heard any of the podcasts before. So let's enliven them on actually how the product works before we go on to talk about what they could do with it.
Well, mobile wallet pass are primarily designed for Apple Wallet, for your iPhone. There's a pass has the front of, you know, your brand or your, in this case, your advocacy group on the front of a pass. On the back of the pass is where all the fun stuff happens. We have many options you can use: call to action links, click to call, click to email. You can engage with your clients, with the passes, let them know what's going on in their next event, let them know of any donations coming up, any fundraisers coming up that you need to let them know about, any next meetings coming up. Look at that. My head, you can't see this, everyone, but my hairband just broke. And you can, if you're running a podcast, you can have launch links, listen links right off the back of a pass. And that's basically how the mobile wallet pass works.
Absolutely. So in a nutshell, that's how the pass works. Now let's talk a little more specifically about what advocacy groups, like say a local chapter of Normal or MPP group type groups, other state and local groups, grassroots movements, what you can do specifically with a pass and why you would want to use a pass to communicate and engage with your supporters. A couple of the primary things that you can do is we have an event ticket pass, which actually could be used at the door to admit people. One of the things that we have some trade shows doing is they send out mobile copies of their event passes, yeah, I guess whatever, yeah, you would call it, that you would normally get, you know, like in an email and print it out, or a barcode in an email, whatever. Instead, they're doing it with mobile wallet marketing passes. And what that means is that prior to the event, you have the ability to market or send messages or rally the troops, so to speak, prior to your event, during your event, and after your event. Usually around 90% of these passes stay in the phones after their initial intended purpose has been done and completed or used and gone by, whatever you want to call it for that. So let's say that you had a fundraising event in February
and you wanted to reconnect with the people that attended that fundraising event in July. Well, you've got a couple of ways that you could do this. One is you could pick up the telephone and you could call every one of them individually. Two is that you could send out a mass email blast and you could hope that people opened up the email and it didn't end up in the spam folder and that they weren't having a bad day and just decided to delete it or whatever people do with emails, which is really not that much good stuff, even though it's still a fairly effective method of marketing. Or you could send them a notice to their lock screen saying, hey, we are so-and-so group and we've got some new information, or we're putting on a new event. And with the way the Apple system is set up, since it uses Apple Wallet, you can see the front and back of the pass from the lock screen without having to unlock the phone.
That's right.
And you can't click through to the links when the lock screen hasn't been unlocked, but you can see what's on there. So you can, if you've got something that you want to get a quick dissemination of information on, like say that some crazy law is about to be passed somewhere and you need to get everybody to call Congressman so-and-so at such-and-such phone number and complain. Well, you can put on the front of the pass, you know, check the back for crucial information, and they can see on the back, oh, wow, this is what's happening. So then they unlock their phone, and if you've put the phone number on there and they're using their phone, all they have to do is tap the phone number and boom, they're calling their congressman right then and there. It's an immediate action, an immediate response. They're not looking at your email going, oh, gee, maybe when I have time, I'll pick up my phone and call. It's a great, great, super amazing call to action. If you want to invite people to come and look at a new web page, or you want to give them some information about an upcoming speaker series, whatever it is, it doesn't make any difference. You give them all this information, you send it straight to their phone. It's all super actionable.
And with that, we're going to wrap up this Best of Cannabis episode. We hope that you've enjoyed it, and you can find all the individual episodes in the archives in chronological order, or they're also searchable by topic. If you like the podcast, please take a minute to rate it on whatever app you use to listen: iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or any other app. If you'd like to speak to us directly, or perhaps be interviewed in an upcoming episode, info@dominoresearch.com is the primary email for contacting us. Thanks, and have a great week.